Good morning, KKXX listeners. Welcome to Christ Today, your Christian radio show on Saturdays from 11 to 12. And in the studio today, we have our guest, John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Morning. How you doing, brother?
Doing great. Tell us a little bit about who you are and yourself and what you represent.
I'm just a brother in the Lord, and I'm director of Jesus Unlimited Ministries out of Grants Pass, Oregon. I basically shepherd the unchurched church.
Share a little bit with us about that.
There's a lot of people out there that love the Lord, and they've been hurt by churches. They've been hurt by other Christians. They've been hurt by pastors. They've been hurt by, basically been hurt by religion. But there's a lot of them out there that love the Lord, and time is getting short, and the Lord told me to shepherd them. So I just follow the Holy Ghost and go wherever He leads me. And He led me here today.
Praise God. So how long have you been in ministry? And if I can take us back a little bit, you used to be a pastor in Paradise, right?
Yeah, but before that I was a pastor in Quincy. That was the first church I pastored in 76. I used to do a radio program out of Carson City, and just been in ministry since 73.
Okay. When you were in Paradise, what was the name of the church that you was a part of, and how did it go?
Well, we went by Believers Outreach Center, but the nonprofit corporation was Jesus Unlimited Ministries. Same thing as we're doing now.
So what was Jesus Unlimited Ministries about?
Just what it says, Unlimited Ministries. We are the extension. The body of Christ is the extension of the ministry of Jesus here on planet Earth. And it was just obeying the Lord and extension of Jesus' ministry.
Something you and I both relate with is grace. You want to share a little bit about grace and what God has showed you and revealed to you about grace, and then also some other things that God has put on your heart for this morning's show.
In Zechariah 4, 6, and 7, it's talking about, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's verse 6. Then verse 7 goes on to say that with shouts of grace, grace, will God remove, sharing the Amplified version here, God will remove human obstacles from us with shouts of grace, grace. And if we will realize that all ministry is ministry of the Holy Spirit, I mean, all ministry, I don't care whether it be salvation, healing, baptism of the Holy Spirit, all ministry is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit. And He's the one that does it all, and He needs us, but He doesn't need the flesh helping Him. He just needs us to be available and willing to do what He wants us to do. And the word says to go heal the sick. The church, the body of Christ, we are supposed to be out there healing the sick. And a lot of people say, well, I prayed for somebody that didn't get healed. Well, there are a lot of people that don't get saved either, but it's still the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God's not willing that any should perish. So He wants all to come to the knowledge of the Lord as a Savior. But faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So as the word goes out concerning salvation, faith rises up for people to get saved. As the word goes out for people to get healed, faith rises up for people to get healed. God's made it awful simple, I think. It's all about His word and His spirit.
I would agree with that. You were talking about healing, and I remember giving a testimony not too long ago. I believe the men heard it up in Paradise about my mom being healed of not being able to walk for 5 weeks. Listening to TBN Ministries, and I don't give TBN the credit because it wasn't TBN that did it, but it was God that used two ministers on there that spoke into my mom and spoke to my mom. As a result, she received a major healing. And that's all it takes is just receiving the word, accepting it, standing on it, believing it. And if we know we're healed, if I'm already healed and I know I have healing, why am I asking God for healing when I already have it? Why am I praying for it when I already have it?
Yeah, you know? He's already done all the work He's going to
do. We just need to step out and receive it.
Jesus is not going to go die on the cross again. He's already done all the work He's going to do. Our part is to receive it.
Okay.
I heard a preacher years ago say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, no. God said it, that settles it right there. If we add our belief to it, that's great and it helps us out. But
that makes
God's
sense.
Word doesn't change. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever.
That makes sense. So what else has God placed on your heart? You've got plenty of time, so talk about whatever you feel to talk.
Jesus prayed in John 17 about unity. And I guarantee you, Jesus never sinned. So when He prayed that prayer, He prayed it in faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's Romans 14:23. Mm-hmm. So Jesus didn't pray that prayer in unbelief. He believed that the body of Christ would be one. And it's beneficial if we will agree with what Jesus has said. And He said to walk in love. And there's so much division in the body of Christ because of people not keeping the commandment of love. Now, it doesn't matter whether you agree with me, whether you like me or whatever, but according to the Word of God, you're supposed to love me and me to you. So it's just a matter of us obeying God's Word.
Isn't that easier said than done, though? And how do you come to a point of doing that?
If we try to do it in the natural, it's impossible. There again, it's not by works. It's not by effort on our part. It's a matter of just letting God be God. And God's in us. If you're born again, God's in you. Therefore, love's in you, because God is love. I'm sensing in my spirit there's a lot of hurting people out there listening today. A lot of people are blaming it on God when it just came from other people, humans. And humans, we all make errors. We all make mistakes. We all put our foot in our mouth and say the wrong thing and all that. But Jesus hung on the cross, one of the last things that was ministered to us when he was here on the earth, and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Correct.
So we need to walk in forgiveness. We need to forgive people. I had a, I guess this is as good a time as any. You wanted me to share something about my daughter.
Yeah, go ahead. I want to ask you about that.
June 26th, no, that was when they pronounced her dead. June 24th, in 2013, I got a phone call from my son. He lives down in Fontana, California. I live up in Oregon, in Grants Pass, Oregon. And Micah called me, and he says, Dad, are you sitting down? I says, yeah. And he says, well, there's only, the only way I know how to tell you is my sister, your daughter, is dead. And my 33-year-old daughter was murdered right here in Oroville. I said, where's she at right now? Well, they had life flighted her from Oroville down to a hospital in Sacramento. And he told me who the neurologist was and gave me his phone number. And I called him and I says, they had her on life support. And I says, do not take her, don't unplug her. I'm on my way down there. And I jumped in the car, and I started heading down to Sacramento. And on the way, as soon as I left the house, I knew I needed to forgive her boyfriend who killed her, beat her to death. And I knew I had to forgive me. If I want my prayers to be answered, there's no question about it. There's no gray area. We're to forgive. And so I started talking to the Lord about that and getting my frustrations, my anger, my bitterness, whatever emotion was trying to rise up. And I just turned it over to God. I just kept giving it to the Lord. Lord, forgive him. He knows not what he did. Now, in the natural, all the dudes that crucified Jesus knew what they were doing in the natural. The Lord wasn't talking about that. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They didn't know spiritually what was taking place. And I just realized that he called himself a Christian. He said he'd been saved as a young, this, I'm talking about the guy that killed my daughter. But he didn't know what he's doing. Anger took over. I believe the spirit, the demons took over. I believe that he opened the door for Satan himself to just come on board and take over. So I had to deal with that. And there's a mileage marker coming down off the Siskiyou Mountain up there on I-5. It says 19 miles to Redding. And by the time I got from Grants Pass to that mileage marker, I was dealing with forgiven him. And when I went by that one, I knew that I knew that I knew that I had let go of it all. And so he was forgiven, and I asked the Lord to forgive him. I still pray for the guy. He's in prison now, and my daughter fell in love with the wrong guy. That's all there is to it. And so when I got down to Sacramento, they had her on life support. When I walked in that hospital room, I knew that Abigail wasn't there. Her body was there, but we are spirit. And when I walked in that room, I could tell that she was already checked out, already went to heaven. She was long gone. Now, they kept her body going on life support for a few reasons. One, I asked them. Two, she was pregnant at the time and had a heartbeat. And so they kept her going because she was an organ donor. And so they had to keep all the body functions going with electronic stuff in order to keep that all going. But Abby was gone. Abby was in heaven. There's no doubt in my mind. She received the Lord as a young child, and she loved the Lord. And so it's just a matter of obeying God's word. You know, too many people live by feelings. Man, it will get you to disobey the word real easy.
Yeah, well, that is true. Now, I want to ask you a question, because you say she's in heaven. I believe she's in heaven, but your son had questions about that, did he not?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, because she was living with the guy. And so Micah was going by the letter of the law, and he says, I don't think Abby made it to heaven. And I said, Micah, there's not a doubt in my mind that your sister is with the Lord right now. The Bible says be absent from the body is be present with the Lord. And she was absent from the body when I walked in the hospital room. I mean, there was, you can tell the spirit wasn't there. Her body was laying there. They had her lungs and all that stuff going with machines, but she was gone. Spirit had checked out. And so he was all concerned about her going to hell. And I said, son, what would it take for you to know that you know that you know that Abby is in heaven? Because there's no doubt in my mind that's where she's at right now. And he said, Dad, either I would have to, God would have to take me up to heaven and I see her there, or somebody that I respect, somebody that I know is trustworthy and everything, would have to go to heaven and see Abby and come back and tell me.
Mm.
And I said, if that's what it takes, the Lord will do it for you. And he looked at me like a tree full of owls and or what's the other one, the deer in a headlight look?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, son, I'm serious. If that's what it'll take, Jesus will do it for you. Just tell him, Lord, this is what I need to happen. That was on Wednesday, and it was down the hospital. They had just pronounced her dead. And he said that. He said, Lord, this is what I need to happen. I says, it's a guaranteed thing. God will take care of that. He called me Sunday afternoon, and Sunday morning at church down in Fontana, California, sister in the Lord who's on staff, my son's on staff at church, there's 15,000-20,000 people down there, it's a big church. And so he knew this gal through the staff meetings and everything that they have once a month, and she was in charge of the prayer and healing ministry, counseling ministry, and stuff like that. So she was a reputable sister in the Lord, and she came up to him after church and said, Micah, I need to tell you something. He says, what's that? Said, well, I either had a vision or dream, or I went to heaven. And she says, I've had visions, I've had dreams, and I know what those are like. And she says, so I really think that God took me to heaven, and I was in heaven. I came walking across there, and Abby and Jesus come walking up to me. And Abby looked at me and said, you guys are all praying for me to be resurrected and come back to life. And this is like the day that they pronounced her dead, is when she had that vision that night. Well, it wasn't a vision. It was an encounter with the Lord, went to heaven. And it says, Abby came up to me and said, you're all praying for me to come back to earth. And she says, I don't want to come back to earth. I want to stay here with him. And she motioned to Jesus, who's standing right there beside her. And then looked back to the gal and touched her on the elbow and said, you understand that, don't you? And she says, yeah, I sure do. And she said, she told Micah, she says, I wish I could have stayed. Says it is so glorious, wow. And the presence of God was just so, the peace of God, everything. Everything heaven's said to be was, and she said, I didn't want to leave.
So that changed his viewpoint altogether.
Instantly. Instantly. That's what he asked the Lord to do for him, and that's what the Lord did for him, and so he's had a peace that Abby's in heaven ever since.
Okay. So you had some other things that you said that the Lord had laid on your heart today, so what would you like to discuss next?
Well, I worked in the healing room ministry. That's Cal Pierce out of Spokane, Washington. They've got over 2,000 healing rooms all over the world now. There's 400 of them just in India. But I was there for 6 years, and we ministered to a lot of people. And even though it's called healing rooms, and we prayed for people who got healed of cancer and lots of things, the biggest percent of the people that came in there for prayer is because the emotional damage, just hurting people. The domestic violence has come to attention through the sports world in the last year or so. I wasn't made aware of how bad a problem domestic violence is until Abby was killed. And I found out that every day in America, 4 women are murdered through domestic violence, not just some weird person down the street somewhere, but through domestic violence. And that's just the ones they know of. That's not the ones that some spouse kills their mate and hides them up in the mountains somewhere, dumps them off a cliff, or throws them in the ocean with concrete shoes.
But that's still a lot of people.
that's a lot of people. And so with that awareness, and then working at the healing rooms, I was amazed at how many women came in there that were in the middle of being battered or had been battered and left and all that. And I just sense in my spirit there's some women out there that are going through that right now, that are listening, and I want to minister to you. First off, I want to stand in as a man and ask your forgiveness from all men anywhere that have ever hurt you, whether it be a father, an uncle, a husband, a boyfriend, whatever, any male that has hurt you. My dear sister, Jesus loves you, and he told me to ask your forgiveness on behalf of all men. When I was doing that at the healing rooms, I saw people just set free. I saw them just break into tears because now they had the person that hurt them, they couldn't go to, and they hadn't asked forgiveness, so they didn't feel like they can go to them and forgive them. But the Lord has shown me that if I will stand in on behalf of all males that have hurt the females out there, that, and I ask you, please forgive me, that they can have somebody to say, I forgive you, and be set free from. So I address this to any females out there that have been a product of any male hurting you, and I ask you right now, please forgive me. Please forgive those that hurt you.
And I agree with you, and I say the same thing, because it's important that women understand that we're human. We screw up, we mess up, but at the same time, we need to come forward and let it be known when we've hurt you, or if somebody on our behalf, as a man, has hurt you, that we're sorry for that to have happened. And God's the only one that can heal that pain. He's the only one that can heal that hurt. He's the only one that can take that pain away. Amen. He just doesn't want to heal that pain. He wants to end that pain.
Amen.
Because you can heal a wound, but if it's not completely put an end to, that wound can open up again and need to be healed again. And God wants to totally erase that. He wants to totally take that away so that you don't have to suffer with that anymore. And I agree with my brother there that if you've been hurt, we ask you to forgive us on behalf of any guy that has in any way acted in a way that he shouldn't have towards you and has caused wounds or grief. We would be forgiven by that. Now, brother, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and I know you've got quite a few more things to share on your heart. So we're going to take a break. Humble Savior, perfect maker. KKXX listeners, welcome to Christ Today, your show which is encouraging, informative, lifting up Christ. And we talk about not good news, not bad news, but great news. We always have a special guest in the studio that can encourage you, that can inform you, that can educate you. But we want the Lord to be the one that touches you and meets you right where you're at. Anyways, if you love this show, feel free to call in and give me some feedback, give me some advice. Let me know that you love this show. And the number that you can call me at is 894-7325. 894-7325. Just mention my name, Curtis, and I'm also now, next week I will tell you more about it, but I'm also now on podcast for those of you that would like to listen to podcasts. But we have a Night of Christian Rock with Watchmen coming up. It's a student travel scholarship fundraiser, Saturday, April the 4th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the BMU Auditorium in Chico State. There's a silent auction at 8:30. And this is to send kids to Seoul, Korea for a human services program along with a mission trip. And if you'd like to know more about that, feel free to give us a call at 894-7325 and ask about that. Tickets are $7. I do have some tickets here at the station for sale. And I'm also going to give a shout out real quickly to Trailhead Adventures at 6265 Skyway, Paradise. And the number is 877-6876. The owner's name is Jim Brochures, and it's a Trailhead Adventures. And what it is they have hiking boots, outdoor clothing, backpacking gear, stuff for trail adventures and stuff for like biking, whatever you want to do. They have that kind of stuff available. Feel free to stop in and tell them that Curtis Smith sent you. We're going to get back to the show. Welcome our guests once again on Christ Today, live in the studio, John Tucker. Go ahead, John. What's on your heart that you'd like to share with us now?
Well, one thing, let's put it on the other side. Instead of the people being hurt, the ones that that are suffering, they are hurting because they've had a loved one lost, or something along the lines where you are battling with trying to receive your healing, your wholeness, you're emotionally shook up over something. Maybe somebody out there has had a son or a daughter murdered, or a close one murdered.
Real touchy subject.
Yeah, and I couldn't have got through it without Jesus. A lot of people ask me, why am I so cool, calm, and collected after it happened? And I said, because of the Lord. I mean, I don't know how anybody, any father, could have gone through their baby girl. I mean, she was 33 years old, but she was my baby out of three, and gotten through it on a cool, calm, and collected. I mean, every once in a while it hit with me. It just, you know, kind of blindsided you. I remember just this Valentine's. I was looking through Valentine's Day cards at the dollar store, and this is a year and a half after Abby was murdered, and I'm going down through. I still got two daughters. Had five kids, two boys and three girls, and I still have got two daughters, and so I'm looking for a Valentine's Day card for daughters. And you know how you read the different ones, trying to find one that fits their personality and all that stuff. Well, I'm going along there, and about the third card I read fit Abby perfect. It wasn't for the other two, but it fit Abigail perfect. Well, I was standing there in the dollar store and started crying. So it's not like, you know, all of a sudden a big spiritual eraser comes along and erases all the pain. You never know when it just blindsides you and hits you. And those of you that have suffered those type of pains, you know what I'm talking about. Any kind of a loved one die of cancer or anything, just missing them causes the pain. But my pastor at the time, John Corson at Applegate Christian Fellowship, I went up to John after about 3 months of Abby being gone, and I asked him, how do you get through the pain? Because he had lost a wife when he was 29 years old in a car accident. He was driving the car and lost control in the ice, I think is the story. But anyway, his wife was killed at age 29. And then when they had three children, and then he lost a 16-year-old daughter. She was driving her own car and lost control and was killed. And so he had suffered a lot of pain through a wife and a daughter being killed. And so I asked him, I said, how do you get through the pain? And he says, you know, when I was going through the pain, he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, you've got a choice here to make. He said, either you can have people's sympathy or you can have my peace, but you can't have both. And so when John shared that with me, I just looked up to heaven, stuck up my hand, and said, Lord, I'll receive your peace.
What do you think he meant by that? Go in a little bit into detail what you think he meant by that. Because there's some people say, well, why can't we have people sympathizing with us, and why can't we have the Lord's peace at the same time?
Because if we have the Lord's peace, we're centered on Jesus. We're looking to Jesus for the peace. If we start getting sympathy from people, we're looking at ourselves. And it's not about us. It's about the Lord. I mean, all I got to do is think. Abby's in a better place than we are right now.
So true.
Yeah, she's in a better place than we are, and I know that I know that I know she's with Jesus. And so why do I need to have myself on my mind? Why do I have to have the sympathy of other people or even self-sympathy? I know there's a better word for that, but I can't think of it right now.
Yeah.
But it's all about receive the Lord's peace. Jesus took it all. Is it 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians? I don't know. One of you out there might know, but it's anyway, 15:55, where it's talking about the sting of death has been removed.
Mm-hmm.
He has absolutely taken away the sting.
Amen.
It's a done deal.
Amen.
So that's what I think he meant by it, because I just reached up and said, Lord, I'll take your peace. And from that point on, every once in a while I have these outbursts of tears or pain or whatever, but I don't dwell on them. I don't stay stuck there. I just look up and say, Lord, I thank you for your peace. And it's a supernatural peace. The word says a peace that passes all understanding.
Amen.
So I invite anybody that's out there suffering with pain due to a loss of a loved one or whatever, choose have the Lord's peace. Choose peace. Choose life.
How do we go about getting people unstuck out of sin and focused off of sin onto stuck on Christ and focused on Christ? How can we encourage people to do that? Because there's so many people that focus on their sin and they think God, when God looks at them, that he focuses more on their sin than he focuses on them. And he loves you and is more in love with you than he cares about your sin. So, John, could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the grace of God. That's what grace is all about, is, you know, and you get... The first thought I had when you said that was the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. I owe everything I have in my life to the Word of God. Everyone out there that's born again, you've been saved, I guarantee you somebody shared the Word of God concerning salvation from you. It's all about the Word. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I believe with all my heart, I haven't got any proof on this one, but I believe with all my heart, Jesus' name is Word, and he was Word in heaven. He wasn't Jesus until he was born of Mary, when he was born of flesh. Mm-hmm. If the Father wanted Jesus, and obviously I'm talking in the way we look at things in the natural, because they didn't need to see each other and everything. But if the Father wanted Jesus when he is in heaven, his name wasn't Jesus then. His name was Word.
That makes some sense. That sounds good.
Yeah, he might look over the Holy Spirit and say, Spirit, can you go get the Word? And, you know, he'd go get Jesus, and Jesus would come over. Like I said, that's just an analogy.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't
Makes
have
sense.
To go get each other. They just were.
Yeah.
But he wasn't, he wasn't Jesus until he was born a man here
on
earth.
That's true.
Now, being brought up, the being born a man, we are a human. We were born male and female, from our moms. But when we got born again, we became a new creation.
Mm.
The Word of God is very clear there, that we are new creations in Christ Jesus. We were born of the flesh, now we're born of the Spirit. And God is Spirit, and we have God's DNA. Just as we got the DNA from our parents here on earth, we have God's DNA now.
Mm.
I like to use the acronym there, DNA, divine natural attributes.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, go heal the sick, raise the dead. He gave us that authority on earth to go do that, and we've got an identity crisis in the body of
Explain
Christ.
Explain that. Go talk about
okay.
that.
We've got an identity crisis in the body of Christ. We see ourselves too much in the flesh, and even the Bible says, know no man after the flesh, but know each other after the Spirit. I haven't known Curtis that long, but I know him after the Spirit, not after the flesh. And so we have got to have the heart of God on things. We have to have the mind of Christ. And we've got to know each other after the Spirit realm.
Hmm.
And it's not that difficult. Just look at them through God's eyes, from heaven's perspective. Jesus paid the ultimate price by dying on the cross.
That's so true.
And he didn't do that for us to just keep on going like humans here on earth. And he didn't just do it to give us a free ticket to heaven. He did it for us to become, as he became man, he was still God. As he was born of Mary, he was still God, even though he was now a human being.
Mm-hmm.
We are made in the image and likeness of God. Right there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, said we were made in the image and likeness of God.
Amen.
Now, do we believe in creation, or do we believe in evolution? We're not going to evolve into sons and daughters of God. We were born sons and daughters of God. My birth date, born again birth date, is April 22nd, 1973. My birth date as a child, being born as a child, was 8/28/48. But my born again birthday is April 22nd, 1973. That's when I became, going to trip some people up, but that's when I became half of my father and half of my parents. I started to say half God, but that'll really
go into that.
Flip out.
Go into that.
Well, if a dog, a female dog has a puppy, they're not a cat, they're a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We are born of the incorruptible seed of God. Everybody hear that?
Incorruptible, yes.
When we are born again, we are born of the incorruptible seed of God. Well, the Word of God is referred to as seed, and Mark chapter 4 talks about that. And there is the power within a seed to produce after itself. If you take an apple seed, it'll produce apples.
I just want to once again let everybody know that you're listening to Christ Today on KKXX Radio, Christ Today. Your host, Curtis Smith, and in the studio, we have our guest, John Tucker. Go ahead, John, continue.
You know, I hear people talk about when they come up with their weaknesses and everything, well, I'm only human. I'm sorry, I'm not only human. I used to be only human, but I became a new creation in Christ Jesus, April 22nd, 1973. And if we will, all of us that are born again, start being more God-inside-minded and realize we have the God of the universe. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can you belittle yourself and say, I'm only human?
That's a good point.
We're not only human. We used to be only human. I was for 24 years of my life only human. And I couldn't control anything I did. That sin nature just took me wherever it wanted to take me. Well, now we have a holy nature mm-hmm. in us.
No longer that sin nature.
We don't have that sin nature. We have a holy nature in us. Now, does that mean we no longer sin? No. But Jesus has already taken care of that. He said, if you sin, repent of your sin. He'll forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus' blood took care of our past, present, and future sins.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to see things the way God sees. We are the righteousness of God in mm-hmm. Christ. If you're born again, you're in Christ Jesus.
It boils down to belief.
Yeah.
Believing and receiving.
It's all about believing.
Yeah.
You can go to bed with the Bible under your pillow, sit on top of it in a chair. You can go sit anywhere hugging the Bible, and it's not going to become you. You have to take it in.
Exactly.
You have to believe the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
That's so true.
In everything, every aspect. But all the promises of God are yes and amen
mm-hmm.
in Jesus. So you just read the Word, read the Word, read the Word. The Bible is referred to as bread of life. You know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so you just read the Word. Just take the Word in. And let me ask you this question. How many of you out there remember what you had to eat for lunch 2 weeks ago on Tuesday?
I sure don't.
Curtis, you don't know, do you?
No.
But it nourished your body.
Yeah. It kept me alive to today, yeah.
Yeah. Same thing with the Word of God. You may not believe everything you read, but just keep reading it. Just keep eating it, and it spiritually will nourish us. And that's what too many Christians today, they don't even know what they believe. They don't read enough of the Word to even know what God has to say about things. The Lord loves you. Let me tell you this right now. Make this very clear. God loves us.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you out there that are parents and you have kids, you love your children. There isn't anything that they can do that would make you love them any less.
Mm-hmm.
They might do some things that don't please you, but you can't stop loving your children. Well, God loves us. He loves us unconditionally. Now, there's some things that we do that don't please him. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Without faith, yes.
Yeah, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word again. So,
I have an acronym for faith. Fully activating in the heavens, or fully activating in the Holy One. You know, fear is false evidence appearing real. But when we're fully activating in the Holy One, how can anything that's false before us appear real?
Yeah.
We're going to be able to notice the false. And, you know, you were talking earlier, didn't mean to stop you there, but you were talking earlier, and you said identity crisis. And Christ one time spoke to me and said, you know, we have an identity crisis because we don't recognize our identity as in who? Christ.
In him.
When we understand our identity is in Christ, and we understand who we are in Christ, we don't have that identity crisis anymore. The enemy likes to come along and whisper stuff in our ear. Are we going to listen to him and claim things that he's saying? Or are we going to praise God anyway and begin to praise God, begin to thank God, begin to worship God through whatever we're going through, put our trust and our hope in him, receive what he said to us, and walk in that? And that's up to us. But what you said about reading the Word, that is actual truth. If we read the Word, we get into the Word becomes a part of us. What is the Word? It's life.
Yep.
It's Christ's life. I did not read the Word for years. I could not understand it, so I just didn't read it. Now I'm reading it. I'm reading the Gospels. I'm going to a study that we talk about the Gospels. We go through the Gospels of grace and faith, and I'm understanding a lot compared to what I did for nearly 40-something years of my Christian walk. And there's so many people out there that they're walking in fear, they're walking in unbelief, they're walking in doubt, because they're trying to do this on their own. Can you bring it home to people that are trying to do it on their own, and how important it is for God to be the source?
Well, the scripture that comes to mind is James 1:22, and nobody likes to be deceived.
Amen.
Anybody like to be deceived? I mean, do you like to go into a car lot to buy a car, and the guy tells you this car is great, this, that, and everything else, and you buy it, and you drive it off the lot, and the thing falls apart? You were just deceived.
Yeah.
Well, James 1 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like to be deceived, but what's really bad is if I deceive my own self. And we all deceive our own selves when we're not a doer of God's word. Jesus left us a commandment. He didn't leave us 10 commandments. He didn't leave us 600 and some laws that the Pharisees and Sadducees had to keep. He didn't leave us law. He gave us grace, but he did give us one commandment.
Love one another. Mm-hmm.
And if we'll be doers of that one, we keep all the 10, all the 600 and everything else. Just love one another.
Yes.
And you say, yeah, but you don't know my neighbor. How am I going to love them? I can think of a lot of things here I better not say over the air. But your neighbor might be thinking the same thing about you. That's food for thought anyway. But Jesus loved us when we were yet sinners.
Mm-hmm.
We were a bunch of, you know, grumblers, gripers, complainers, evil people and everything. And Jesus loved us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he paid the ultimate price with his life, how can we not forgive other people?
That's so true.
That whole parable about the king or whatever was that forgave the dude a debt that he had. And right after he forgave him, that guy that was forgiven the debt, he went out and found some dude that owed him, you know, I've heard it taught that the king forgave him like $1 million. He went out and wouldn't forgive another guy $20.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same analogy of how can you not forgive somebody $20 when Jesus has forgiven us $1 million?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm referring to that in the sin that he forgave us. You know, and that's the other thing. Religion beats everybody over the head with their sins and tells them what rotten people they are and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
God has a different opinion of that.
Mm-hmm.
For God so loved that he gave.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can finish that and say his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But you could stop right with the first part. For God so loved that he gave.
Yes.
God is a giver.
Yes.
God is a giver. God wants all men to come to repentance. Okay, but it's not up to us to beat people over the head with the Bible and tell them all their sins, tell them the Ten Commandments, all that. It's our part to love them.
And he doesn't take it away once he gives it either.
No.
No.
It's our part to love people. Mm-hmm. I mean, God doesn't withhold love from us. Oh, I just had a scripture. I don't want to try. I could quote it, but I don't want to mess it up.
It's good that you're going
to
share.
If you got a Bible nearby, turn to Romans 8:32. I am going to give you a scripture that should rock your world. Everybody knows John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever should believe in him should not perish, have everlasting life. Okay. Now, Romans 8:32 says, He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Which is eternal life.
All things.
Yeah, all things. Healing, peace, all that, yes.
You know, he didn't stutter there like I did. He said, How will he not freely give us all things? All things. You got a need of something, use that scripture and ask the Lord for it. He'll take care of it. He already took care of it anyway 2,000 years ago.
If he becomes our life, and he's our life, because we need to come to the end of ourselves. And if he becomes our life, then loving and forgiving should not be a hard thing to do. It should come easily, because it's not us doing it. It's the love of Christ through us. We have an advocate with the Father who's continuously forgiving us.
Amen.
So if he's continuously forgiving us and we love him, how can we say, well, I can't forgive my brother? If he's continuously loving through us and we love him, how can I say, I don't love him, I can't love him? And as we understand that, then the desires in our heart to want to do different and be different, they change. We don't want to be bad-mouthing our neighbor. We don't want to be hurting our brother. We don't want to be robbing the church or living a life of mediocrity before God. And once again, we can either do our own effort and through our own efforts and our own abilities try to do what God has already done, or we can receive it, believe it, and continue to walk in him and recognize one thing. We are the righteousness of Christ. Because why, John?
Because
Jesus lives in us. He says
we
if
became
he,
a new creation. I feel that rises up in my spirit. I really want everybody to think about that. You became a new creation, in Christ Jesus when you got born again.
Mm-hmm. So true.
How can we keep living like we used to live, knowing that we are a new creation? In fact, the Amplified, I think it is, says, might be a different translation, says we are a new species of being. Wrap your brain around that one. When we got born again, we became a new species of being. We're no longer a human being. We're a new species of being. We are human, and we are God.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll freak a lot of people out. We'll go look at...
Explain that. Go into that a little bit. When you say we are God, go into that
a little
bit.
Well, we were created in the image and likeness of God.
Okay, yeah.
And when we got... And that was just when we were born back in Adam and Eve. They were created in the image and likeness of God. Well, what they lost in the fall was their connection with God. We have been connected again. That's a good way of putting it. We've been reconnected with being born again. So We have a connection with God. He is our Father, and he loves us so much that there's nothing we can do to make him not love us.
That's so true.
And there's a lot of us that have been raised by fathers that don't love us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't blame God for that.
No.
You know, we all have a free choice. Deuteronomy chapter 30 says, I lay before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then he says, choose life. He tells you how to choose, but he gives you the choice. He puts before you life and death. God has given us all a free will.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that killed my daughter, when I was talking to the Lord about it, he said he had a free will.
Mm-hmm.
And God's not going to violate our free will. A lot of people say, well, why God, did God allow that? God's going to allow whatever we allow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has put us on the earth and given us the authority, and it's all about the kingdom of God. We have got to represent the king in his kingdom and not do things the world's way, kingdom of the world or the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wait until you die and go to heaven to represent the king.
That's true.
I love the way Bill Johnson up at Reading says that. Instead of saying represent, he says represent the king.
I like that.
It's what we do. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is representing the king.
We're representatives of Christ. If people see us, they should see Jesus.
The word talks about us being ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
What's that mean? We are representatives of heaven. Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there any poverty in heaven? Is there any sickness or disease in heaven? No. And we're to represent that here on earth. Jesus is coming soon. I know there's a lot of people that might not believe that, but sorry, you're not believing right, because Jesus is coming soon. All you got to do is start asking him, and he'll reveal to you.
Mm-hmm.
All the signs are lining up. I was born in 1948. That might not mean much to other people, but... The Jews returned back to Jerusalem, to their home state, became a country again, became a nation in May of 1948. And I was reading in Matthew 24 years ago, and I ran across Jesus said that this generation, the one that becomes a nation again, what that happened in 1948, he said that generation shall not perish until the Lord returns. And I read that, and I said, well, Lord, I guess I'm going to be here when you return then. And just that knowledge of being born in 1948, and Jesus said that generations of Jews will not perish until he returns, has kept me alive. Let me explain that. In 1983 or 4, somewhere like that, I was preaching up in Bend, Oregon about healing and faith. I had rented a building in a local school auditorium, and on Tuesday nights I was teaching about faith and how to apply our words to believe God's word. And on Thursday nights I would teach on healing. And so that's what I was doing. In the midst of doing that, and a lot of people were getting saved and healed, and it was awesome what God was doing. Mm-hmm. Well, in the middle of doing that, my kids were little then. I think Micah was about 6, and Hannah would have been 4, so Abby would have been 3, 2.5 or 3. And they're playing on the floor. I mean, just kids playing. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I have pain in the back of my head, right behind my right ear, like I was shot with a gun, and I went blind. Simultaneously, it was black. I can hear the kids playing, and I was blind. And this pain was unbearable. I wish I could have cut my head off. I would have felt better at the time. When that happened, I heard the enemy scream that, have your wife take you to the hospital. They can save your life, but you'll be blind the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. That's the enemy screaming in my ear. Then I heard Jesus' soft, still voice say, are you going to believe the lie of the enemy, or are you going to believe the truth of my word that you've been preaching?
Mm.
Now, that's an awful, for Jesus to tell me that the pain in my head and my blindness was a lie from the enemy, he looks at things a whole lot better, different than we look at them.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, when I get attacked with anything, because, by the way, in the midst of praying the word of God, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, by his stripes I'm healed, standing on God's promises, the soft, still voice of the Lord said, command your eyes to have 20/20 vision. And instantly, I could see again. It took about 3 hours to get the pain out of my head, quoting the word and just rebuking the devil. But I was healed, totally healed, completely of blindness, of the pain in my head and stuff like that. My daughter was Abigail, the one that was murdered. She was 2.5 or 3 at the time. And Mike was in school, and my wife was shopping or somewhere. And I had the girls, and they wanted some ice cream. And you know how fathers love their little girls. And mm-hmm. I said, you guys go get in the car, and we'll go get some ice cream. Next thing I know is Hannah is screaming like a mashed cat. I mean, she's just screaming. And I go running to the garage door, the kitchen door goes out to the garage, and I open it up, and I wanted to say, what happened to Hannah? You ever try to say something, something else comes out of your mouth? I wanted to say, what happened to Hannah? What came out of my mouth was, Abby, pray for your sister. Hmm. Now, she's right around 3, either right before 3 or just barely turned 3. There's 18 months difference in their age. She reaches over and grabs Hannah's hand, and says, be healed in Jesus' name. And Hannah got the weirdest look on her face and said, the pain's all gone. Well, then I was able to say, what happened? And she said, I slammed the door on my fingers.
Mm. Mm.
Now, you slam the door on your fingers, you're going to scream and holler like a mashed cat.
For not just a few minutes.
Yeah. Well, that little 3-year-old, you know, the Holy Ghost is not in different sizes. It's not extra large, large, medium, small, extra small. 3-year-olds get a full sigh of Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And she had received the Holy Spirit, and she just reached over and prayed for her sister, and the pain left.
Oh, praise God. Lord, using little ones.
Boy, I can use. I'll throw out just some really, I don't know how much time we got left here, but.
We got about 9 minutes.
Okay. I raised 3 children, and never once did they go to the doctor. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back. It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
And
Amen.
That's why Abby, at 3 years old, knew Jesus. We prayed for everything. Micah got pneumonia once. Prayed for that. God healed it. Micah broke his wrist one time. Prayed for that. God healed it. It's just, we've got to take God at his word. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit just told me. What was his name? Rick Joyner was on TV here a while back, and he said that the Lord took him to heaven for 8 hours. And the Lord told Rick Joyner that he wants friends, that he doesn't have a lot of friends. He has a lot of servants, but he doesn't have a lot of friends. And the Bible said that I no longer call you servants, but I call you my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, a friend, I have a very dear and close friend here in the studio with me, and I trust my brother David. Whatever he says to me, I can take it to the bank. Why? Because he's my friend.
Exactly.
And we need to become friends with the Lord and trust whatever he says to us.
Exactly.
I mean, we just got to trust him. Take him at his word.
Mm-hmm. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Amen.
You know.
Amen. There's a whole lot I could share with you, Curtis, but we don't have time. That'd be for another time.
We have a few minutes left, but what I want to do before we end up here is I want to get into prayer in a little bit, just praying for people over the air, because I know there's some hurting people out there that are listening. I feel today that there's some people looking for answers. And you know what? Christ is your everything.
Amen.
Christ is your all, both great, both small. Christ is everything you ever needed. He is a friend indeed, and he loves you in spite of yourself.
Amen.
You know, John, I was sitting in a businessmen's fellowship meeting in Modesto about 2.5 years ago now, and I had a poor woe me. David, you've seen me with that a few times. And I had a poor woe me syndrome going on, and I was sitting in that meeting, and I heard the Lord say, I love you in spite of yourself. People, stop being so hard on yourself. Accept the fact that Jesus Christ loves you, and he's all the love, he's all that you need. There's nothing that we can say that he can't say and even say it greater. And when he speaks to you and you hear him speak, and I encourage you, if all you can do in the is read the Gospels in the Bible, still get into the Gospels. Acts, Romans, Galatians, Corinthians, there's some good stuff in those books. And God wants to pour out his Spirit. I don't believe his Spirit has been poured out on the whole earth yet. I don't believe that everything is done yet. I believe we are coming to a close. And he knows who's his. And there's still time for you to still get on board. But know that God cares more for you and is in
Amen.
More love with you.
Amen.
And he's mad not at you. He's mad about you. And he's so much more
Amen.
Concerned about you than your sin.
Amen.
All you have to do is say, God, I give myself to you. I give myself to you. He already gave himself for you.
Yep.
And the other thing is stop asking him to use you. Be a team. Work together with him. He wants to work with you. He doesn't want you to burn yourself out by working for him. We're not slaves. You know, we are called to be friends of Christ. We're called to be servants. And Jesus came to serve. But at the same time, we don't have to feel like, oh, I have to do more for God.
No.
I don't have to do anything for God. He loves me if I don't ever do a thing for him. But I should want to. I should want to and desire to because of what he did for me. Well, my brother, what else do you want to share with us?
Well, when you said that, I was thinking we're called to co-labor with the Lord.
Amen.
I heard Jack Hayford years ago say that without God, we can do nothing.
Amen.
But without us, he will not do anything. He will not violate our free will. Therefore, we have got to, he was talking about prayer, we've got to pray and invite God into our situations. And then he'll go to work on our behalf. But he won't just push himself around. He won't just force his will on us. We have to invite him. The word talks about let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Well, how do you let God arise? The word let, if somebody's knocking on the door, I'll go let them in. I invite them in.
Amen.
And we've got to invite God into our life. There's too much pride in America. Everybody thinks they have to do everything themselves. Let go and let God.
Amen.
Let go and let God.
Amen.
Gosh, I better shut up here. I got lots of stuff I'd like to share.
Well, brother, you could share a lot more. But you know what? We've got very little time.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do here, we're looking at less than 2 minutes. You want to pray?
Sure. Before I pray, in case I forget, if there's anybody that's listening to this program that's going to air Saturday, I invite you, and if you want prayer, if you want to have some personal, individual prayer, Can I go ahead and give them my phone number?
Go ahead.
Okay, I want to be open and available. My number is 541-295-9674. Or if you've got anything really in-depth you want to share, my address is 1630 Williams Highway, number 361, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97527. You can write me, I'll answer you, you can call me, and I'll pray with you, or lead you into the Word. I mean, that's my favorite thing to do, is just lead people to the answer. The answer is Jesus, and Jesus and the Word are one.
Amen.
I want to pray for everybody that's out there.
Amen.
No matter what your need is, whether it's physical, emotional, financial, no matter what your need is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. I'm everything. Jesus is your answer.
Amen.
Look to the Lord. Receive from the Lord. There again, God won't force himself on you. He will not violate your free will. You've got to ask him.
Amen.
The word says, seek and ask and knock, and Amen. He will come in. And he wants to. There's some really hurting people out there. People on drugs. I was a drug addict in 1973. God totally took it all away from me. Completely. Just got to let go and trust God.
Well, we got less than 20 seconds if you want to pray us out.
Okay. Father, heal your people. Lord, I thank you. You already sent Jesus to the cross, provided the healing for them. Now, Father, I pray that they would open their hearts to Jesus, whether it be for salvation or for healing or provision. Lord, I pray that they would forgive anybody that's ever wronged them and walk in love. Keep your word and keep the commandment of love. We give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're doing in people's lives. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. Amen.
Folks, next week we will talk again with our guest in the studio, Manuel J. Herrera. And it'll be next Saturday, live, Christ Today, from 11 to 12. Look forward to talking to you next week. May you be blessed and have a great week.
Shine your light, shine your light. I am yours, Lord. Lift me up, I am no more. Let me live inside your glory, glory now. Shine your light, I am yours, Lord. Lift me up, I am no more. Let me live my life inside your glory.
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry. Here on KKXX, you can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today.